Welcome to the Equipping the Saints podcast. We're glad you're joining us today. Here is this week's teaching.
Really see what it really tells us and what the message is this week. So last week we talked about priorities. We talked about how our priorities line up with God's priorities and how our priorities are completely jacked up compared to the way He truly wants us to be, right? So we're reading out chapter 2 in Haggai. If you have your electronic Bible, you can get that out. If you don't, they get a sheet out at the front there. Kind of go over that. So chapter 2 of Haggai. So the new temple's diminished splendor. So chapter 2 starts off this way. Then on October 17th of that same year, the Lord sent another message through the prophet Haggai. Say this to Zerubbabel, son of Shattai, governor of Judah, and to Jeshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, to the remnant of God's people, there in the land. Does everyone remember this house, the temple, in its former splendor? How in comparison does it look to you now? It must seem like nothing at all. But now the Lord says, be strong, Zerubbabel, be strong, Jeshua, and Jeshua, the high priest. Be strong, all you people still left in the land. Now get to work, for I am with you, says the Lord of heaven's armies. My spirit remains among you, just as I promised when you came out of Egypt. So do not be afraid. He says there in verse 5 at the end, do not be afraid. So he tells them, don't be afraid, just do the commandment. Seems like nothing at all, what he said to them. Not understanding that it's a temple that is being built for all of the world. See, God's people, just like we said last week, God's people was saying, God, I don't want to do that. I don't want to help build the temple. I want to focus on my own priorities. See, I understand what I have to do, but I don't want to focus on that. He's given them confidence to build the temple here, to finish it. God has given the strength to Haggai to speak to Zerubbabel and Jeshua, telling that He is with them, help build His kingdom. He is with them. What can we take out of that? He is with us. He is always with us. He said the same thing to him, to Haggai. That He's always with us. See, God is the ultimate leader in all of this. No matter what we focus on, Monday through Friday, Saturday and Sunday, God is the leader. He's the ultimate leader no matter what. God keeps His promises. That's who knows. God keeps His promises. See, the promises that God is making is that He is there for His people. He's always there. Think about this. This is the Old Testament. We're reading out of the Old Testament here in Haggai. He's telling them, I am here for you. Finish building my kingdom. Finish my temple. So people can celebrate. So that people can worship. He was there then. He was there then. How many years ago was that? He's here now. God wants His people to work for things so that He can be glorified. That glorifies Him. God wants us to work on things for His own good to get glorified. We continue here in God's Word in verse 6. It says, for this is what the Lord of heaven's armies says, in just a little while, I will again shake the heavens and the earth, the oceans and dry land. I will shake all the nations, and the treasures of all the nations will be brought to the temple. I will find this place with glory, says the Lord of heaven's armies. The silver is mine, The gold is mine, says the Lord of the heaven's armies. The future glory of this temple will be greater than the past glory, says the Lord of heaven's armies. And in this place, I will bring peace. I, the Lord of heaven's armies, have spoken. So this shifts from the local temple getting built to the worldwide reign of the Messiah on earth. That's when the shift happened. Now, how bold is that? He didn't say, you know what, work on it when you can. And then in the end, it'll be glorified in me. That's okay, just take your time. He says, no, honey, get it done. Like, that's what he said. And he says everything is his. Take that into perspective. The silver is mine. And the gold is mine. Everything is his. Never once did he say, that stuff is Haggai's. Haggai, this is yours because you're the prophet. He says, it is all mine. So before we start getting into the concept of thinking that our money is ours, it's far from the truth. It's far from the truth. When we sit there and say, well, when we get paid on Friday, it's all my money. I can focus on that. Because it's mine, I got paid for it, I did all the hard work. Understand, that is God's money. He blessed you to have a good job to make money. We get caught up so much in our possessions that we don't even see it that way. God acts in His time, not ours. Understand that He is going to work in His time and not our time. See, our time and His time are completely different times. It's completely different. For what we may think that I need to be blessed by this day, He says, no, you need to have enough faith in me for me to give you the blessings. That's where we get it messed up. We see it as being time. And to Him, He's saying, no, you need to pull and get more focused on me instead of focusing on you. See, you're putting too much time into you, not enough time into me. You think He's jealous? Yes, He's jealous because He wants your attention. Because He is the sovereign. We need to get too caught up into our emotions thinking that we are more sovereign than He is. Because we don't give Him enough time. He wants our time. How often do we listen to God? Do our own thing. Focus on the world. What the world tells us, what the world feeds us. We focus too much on that. Instead of actually listening to what God tells us in prayer. I think we get too focused up on what when the next stimulus check is coming. We get too focused on what this pandemic is doing in our world. Well, I can tell you one thing. You know what the ultimate way to get past the pandemic is? More focus on God. If we stayed in more prayer for this pandemic to be over, I don't know about you, but He can make anything happen. More than any of our leaders sitting in the Capitol. We get too focused on that. We really do. So, when He pushes you to move, take something from us. He pushes you to move. Instead of us sitting back and saying, I'm not ready to move yet, you move. Because He's going to push and push and push you until you move. Either that or you know what He's going to do? He's going to avoid you. When He avoids you, that's going to be a lot harsher punishment than it is just dealing with the consequences of where He tells you to. So my question, when we go through this Haggai thing, this is the second week going through it, is will you help God build the kingdom? Or your own kingdom? Your own desires? Then you get too focused on you, instead of helping Him. Instead of allowing Him to be glorified in His kingdom. Ways of doing that, obviously, stay in constant prayer. Do the best you can, but here's the thing. Here's where it all boils down to. matter how good we can try to do, we're not going to ultimately fall down. Because we're sinful people. We were born in sin. We are sin. Take that into perspective. Now you can say, okay, well, if that's the case, then why are we even trying? Why are we trying to get up this whole mountain when we're constantly sinning and falling back down? Well, because there was a man that died on the cross for each and every single one of us that should be glorified, and as the only thing that truly matters in this world is Him. And through Him dying on the cross is what the only reason why we're here to begin with. He should be glorified. We should be praying to Him. Because that's what truly matters. So at the end of verse 9, notice that God says He will bring peace. Through the hard work for His kingdom, He will bring peace. Verse 10 says this back in God's Word here. On December 18th of the second year of King Darius' reign, the Lord sent this message to the prophet Haggai. This is what the Lord of Heaven's Army says. Ask the priest this question about the law. If one of you is carrying some meat from a holy sacrifice in his robes, and his robe happens to brush against some bread or stew, wine or olive oil, or any other kind of food, will it also become holy? The priest replied, no. Then Haggai asked, if someone becomes ceremonially unclean by touching a dead person and then touches any of the food, will the food be cut? And the priest answered, yes. Then Haggai responded, this is how it is with the people in this nation, says the Lord. Everything they do, is everything they offer, is defiled by their sin. Look at what was happening to you before you began to lay the foundation of the Lord's temple. When you hopped for a 20 bushel crop, you harvested only 10. When you expected to draw 50 gallons from the wine press, you found only 10. Sent light, mildew, hell to destroy everything you worked so hard to produce. Even so, you refused to return to me, says the Lord. Think about this. The 18th day of December, the day when the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid. Think carefully. I am giving you a promise now while the seed is still in the ground. You have not yet harvested your grain. Your grapevines, fig trees, pomegranates, and olive trees have not yet produced their crops. But from this day onward, I will bless you. He said, Haggai was a sinner. He was a sinner. Common day sinner every day until he got the call. He's doing the same stuff we do now. That's the reason why I wanted to dive into the book of Haggai for the past few weeks. Because it puts it into perspective of who we are. Of who we ultimately are. And how the prophets look inside the heart. They're common day sinners. They're people. People just like we are. Every day, constant sin. Jacking it all up. Wake up and you don't say, well, I'm going to be perfect today, God. Fall short. You know what? I don't think about anything like that. No, fall short. Well, I'm going to take that real quiet trip down to work this morning. You know, my mind won't wander. Fall short. I'm going to go through my devotional this morning. My Bible app. My devotional. Get the check mark at the end. Got it figured out today. I'm good. On the track. We're good for the day. Tomorrow might be different. Fall short. Because that's the way it works. A few things we can take from these pieces of scripture here from Haggai. These are in your notes. Doing the work is not about the labor. It's about the spirit. Remember, doing the work is not about the labor. Okay? They weren't doing the build the temple just to build it. They weren't saying, okay, well, Haggai told me to, so I'm scared of that Haggai guy. Maybe I should do it. No, he was doing it to glorify God. And the reason why Haggai was telling them is because he was filled with the Spirit. Kickstart new stuff. But ultimately, yes. That's the thing. Is that he was doing the work because of the Spirit. The next fact here. Doing good deeds for God can only be tainted by a sinful attitude. Now obviously doing good deeds is not going to get us to heaven. We all know that. We get to heaven by the fruits, by the fruits that we show. But while we do the deeds, we can be completely tainted by sinful attitude. By the way we act towards others. I'm going to tell you right now, did Jesus walk through and talk about each other while they were walking through, talking about this person, that person? I don't think he said, you know what, man, that David guy, you know, I don't know what's going on with him. I talked to him last week. He didn't figure it out. He never talked negative about anybody. He talked love and compassion. Sometimes it's harder than other times. It just is. Because of who we are. When God cleanses our sinful deeds, start to do glorifying deeds. Glorifying deeds. The things that we do in our common, everyday, single life should be glorifying God. If more of us got through each day glorifying Him the way we should, the world still will be full of sin. But it's going to be a little easier to live. A little easier. Still going to be home. The last point. Cannot harvest plants without the seed. The seed. I said I planted it for you. I have given you a promise now while the seed is still in the barn. You have not yet harvested your grain and your grapevines, fig trees, pomegranates, and olive trees have not yet produced their crops. You have not harvested your grain. You haven't done the work. You got to do the work. You just can't allow Him to work in your life without you doing something. He doesn't just plant it and say, okay, figure it out. We have to be focused enough to figure it out, to help glorify His kingdom. Verse 20 here says, on that same day, December 18th, the Lord sent this second message to Haggai. Tell Zerubbabel, the governor of Judah, that I am about to shake the heavens and earth. I will overthrow royal thrones and destroy the power of the foreign kingdoms. I will overturn their chariots and riders. The horses will fail. The riders will kill each other. But when this happens, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will honor you, Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, my servant. I will make you a signet ring on my finger, says the Lord. For I have chosen you, the Lord of heaven's armies. Have spoken. How powerful is that? That He can shake the heavens and the earth. How powerful is that? That He can shake the entire earth with just His hand. And we get focused on our own deeds trying to figure it out. We get focused on our everyday routine. When there is a God that can shake the entire earth if He's mad. Send massive famines. Send a drought. How amazing is that? That He is that almighty, that He can do that. I will overturn their chariots and riders. Man. And we sit and stay focused on our own problems. And he can overturn anything. He can make anything happen. God affirms he is in charge at the end of Haggai. He placed his stamp on it and said, I am in charge. No matter what you can do, he can do, she can do, I am ultimately in charge. And he said that. He said, I am the Almighty Son. I am in charge. None of you are. Except me. The focus that comes from Haggai is this. First point, quit worrying. Quit worrying. I think we get caught up, especially in this time of a pandemic, we worry, right? We're concerned. All of us are caught up and we're concerned. I get it. We are. It's everywhere. Quit worrying. Because we have an Almighty God that can control this thing. And He can take this away. Think about it. To test our faith. I was sitting there the other day, I was thinking about it, and I said, well, I wonder why we're in a pandemic. I mean, I know multiple pandemics have happened in the past. I get it. But why? I think it's a time to test our faith. It's to really test our prayer life. Shut down almost the entire world with a pandemic. And shut down businesses. People are at home. For what reason? For us to focus more on Him. For us to get in prayer. For us to read our more scripture. For us to really get into that ultimate time. That we're connected with Him. On to our second point here. Motivation for others. So what do we think when we think of motivation? Okay, we think, we give them a pat on the back saying, that a boy, let's get to work. Understand that Haggai was telling those people that because nobody was doing anything, he was constantly telling them, we need to build this temple to glorify God. You know this. Come on, God, let's get to work. Nobody listened. I think as a church, we really need to focus on each other. It's in our mission statement, connect with others. To have some more time to connect with each other and to truly guide each other through this thing that we call life. Family, as we all know, can end like that. Real fast. Real quick. And if we're not here for each other, guide us ourselves through this thing, to get focused on Him, and it's not going to end with it. End is a promise. It's going to be good anyway. As a church family, I think it's time that we get focused more on Him. It's a unity, like we talked about a couple weeks ago. It's important. It's important as a church. It's the only way you grow. It's the only way you grow through faith is with each other. It's to those late night phone calls at 2 a.m. I need to talk. It's the women's group meeting to have dinner. Doing life together. Men, doing life together. It's different connect groups, small groups. That's how we grow. That's how we grow. Haggai didn't give excuses when God told him that to tell the people. Did he ever give an excuse? He was a sinner. He didn't. We sit back and we got so many excuses that it's unreal. Can't make it because of this. Can't do this because of that. I'm going to tell you one thing. If God calls you to do, you better do. Because I was one that went back on. When God told me to plant New Start Church, I said, no, this is not time yet. Mama, we only have 6 people who run a coffee table. I said, no, we got to wait till March. What are we doing? This is what I want to do. I want to wait till March. Stayed up one night. He said, no, man, you got to move. This community needs it. And they do. We have a group of people in here that are on fire for Christ. That do this every single week. That want to be a part of this. Want to be a part of this. And everyone. Online presence. It's amazing how God can move in a community. You just listen to your heart. It tells you to go, you go. Because the more and more you sit back, the more life is taken. Every minute. And before you know it, your time is gone. And you sit back and you think, you should have. Something could have changed in that community. Somebody could have heard the gospel the way they should have. Then you start regretting. Last point here, get our priorities straight. Going from last week when we had the whole demonstration about priorities, it's important to get our priorities straight. I think we're too focused sometimes on us and us and things and other things that we can do and not really focused on our priorities. Make sure our priorities are straight. This isn't in your notes. But the biggest thing you can take from this 2-week series is to prioritize Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And He should be above every single point that we talk about. Because His body was slaughtered. And I'll sit back and think this past week that a man slaughtered his body on a cross when it should have been us. Should have been us. He went through the wrath that we should have suffered. Is that hard to swallow? It is. Is it hard to say that? It absolutely is. Is it true? Yes, it is. You can take anything out of it tonight. Prioritize Jesus. Prioritize His kingdom. Prioritize Him. That's important. We need to get aligned with more of God's priorities than our own. If we use our heart, think about our heart, to rely on things, this is going to sound really harsh. If we use our heart to rely on things, we're going to end up in a fiery pit. That's hard to swallow. When we think of it. That's really hard to swallow. It's hard to think about going to hell. It is. But if we don't focus more on Jesus and we focus on ourselves, we put ourselves in front of everybody in the kingdom, it's reality. So wherever you're at, you could, I just want to pray for you. Father, we know that our priorities are really, really messed up. We know that we don't have it figured out, but we know that there's an almighty, sovereign God. And we reach for You. We get closer to You. And we're just allowing You to use us. To use us to allow us to get our priorities right. To really align our thought process and our hearts on You, Father God. Father, we know that our kingdom is nowhere near Your kingdom. We know that we don't have the steps right now. Could You work inside of us to allow us to get closer to You? Could You realign our priorities from being about us and just not really focusing on You to focus more? Father, we're honored to be in Your place tonight. We're honored to worship You. With every head bowed, we just ask this in the glorious Son's name, Jesus.
Thank you for listening today. Subscribe to our podcast and listen to the weekly teaching.